Hi there, and welcome to the Paramount Fitness Podcast. I'm your host, Lee Cooper, and today you are joined by, or we are joined by, Paramount Fitness strength coach, Dan Thorpe. Say hello, Dan.
Hello.
Okay, now, today's topic is going to be nutrition, but not just nutrition in general. We're talking nutrition when it comes to fat loss, and we're also talking about nutrition and the many obstacles that you may face when embarking on a fat loss journey. So, first question, Dan, is from your experience over the years, but also in recent months, what do you find is the most common obstacle that both your male and female clients find or are faced with?
There's probably a couple of things, really. Quite a common thing is that everybody believes there is a set way you should attack nutrition, specifically to fat loss, same as muscle building, and that there is one way to do it. And depending on the individual, obviously that can vary greatly. So a lot of people come in very, very low carb, or they'll be very, very low calorie, and usually it's one of those two things that that most people come in with. So they're coming with a goal like, I want to get very, very lean for a holiday. But the problem is, they're already eating next to no calories. So I'd say possibly, just the simple fact that people aren't eating enough.
Okay, so let's open people's eyes up a little bit. So you get a size 10. And we'll just use females for this example. We get a size 10 female who looks relatively healthy from the outside.
Yeah.
Okay, but obviously we know as coaches and from experience that you can get skinny fat people, which look like they have a great body, but when you get the calipers on them, they still have relatively high body fat. But let's just say that person A comes in, and person A is a size 10, and they want to lose body fat. But then you also have let's say a size 16 or a size 18 woman come in, also who wants to lose body fat. Do you go with the exact same approach?
No, you don't just pull off a template or a set meal plan or diet for different individuals. You have to find out the specifics of what that individual's done in the past, how they act now, what's their training like, and what's their relationship with food like. They have two very different lives and they lead very different paths. For the exact reason why I said you can't just focus and rely on a complete template. You have to tailor a template to each individual person. So yeah, I may use like low carb portions within someone's experience. Or I may use a strategy just to retrain someone's association with food.
Good point. So let's keep that scenario in mind, that we've got a size 10 come in and we've got a size 16 come in. And they both want to lose body fat, but obviously the amount of body fat that each of those individuals want to lose is significantly different. Name a couple of issues that both of those individuals would face if they both followed the same plan. So for example, let's say that the size 10 is doing really, really well. So the size 16 to 18 individual decides to copy and follow the same suit. But then let's just flip side that and go, right, okay, the size 16 to 18 woman who's been with us a month has done exceedingly well. And the size 10 goes, okay, so she's in a different chapter to me in her book, but she's got great results real quick, a lot faster than on a percentage scale to me, I'll do what she's doing. What problems could they face if they tried to follow the same thing? Because that's what happens, isn't it? Someone who gets great results here, we do measurement week, someone goes, bloody hell, they've lost 5 centimeters off their waist, or they've lost a couple of kilos or 3 or 4% body fat in a month, and they go, I must do what that individual does. What is the problem with taking those steps?
I think I know what you're getting at. I think I know what you're trying to say. Well, theoretically, they're in different start points. Whereas one individual may have the ability to reduce total calorie load and get a nice even drop of in body fat without really interrupting daily life, going into deficiencies with basically just too minimal food. So if someone's eating quite, like if someone is genuinely over-caloried, simply reducing that calorie load and putting them on a healthier diet consisting of, obviously, vegetables, plenty of fiber, keeping hydrated, having like a goal for protein to help balance out the other macronutrients like fats and carbohydrates, leads to a sustainable diet that that individual can take. So just dropping things consistently through all macronutrients may work really, really well and work nice and smooth for that individual. Now, another individual that starts off, so like you said, it might be already quite a light individual but wants to drop body fat or tone up or how, sorry to use that term, but that's the term people understand, for a holiday. The thing is, I suppose this is why, it's like lack of food, so this is why we probably have to pause a client's efforts for fat loss to look ahead for potential greater fat loss in the future. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if someone's eating very, very little, let's say someone, I've had clients come in at 800 to 1,000 calories and they want to get leaner for a holiday.
So they're already exceeding the load.
Yeah, they're already very, very low on calories. But the thing was doing that, as a coach, and if you've got this individual's like health and best interests at heart, you shouldn't be doing that. You have to let that client know that you can pause that, and you might have to spend weeks or even months retraining that individual and climbing and walking their food up. So this is one of the learning curves we have to teach for a lot of clients, is we have to try and teach them that less calories doesn't always mean fat loss.
Yeah.
It doesn't always mean weight loss. We might have to just work with that client for a while and very, very slowly introduce food and give them targets for protein, fats and carbohydrates. They don't have to be too specific, but a framework to a diet just leads them to a lot freer and a lot less stress moving forward. Hope that makes sense, anyway.
Yeah, so just very quickly, just to clarify, give me a number of things that would be significantly different from a size 10 to lose body fat and a size 16 to 18 to lose body fat. I'm gonna start the ball rolling. Their calories are gonna be totally different, aren't they? First and foremost.
Yeah, but it still goes by. We still have to look at what they've been doing over the previous few months.
Yep.
That's got to be taken into consideration. But generally, if you've got a higher body mass higher body fat percentage, you can do a lot better just by simply like reducing total calorie load. So you don't need to be as specific or as strict with things. I would say total carbohydrate might want to be a lower percentage of overall diet, increasing fiber and obviously protein that way. But again, it's down to total calories really, but creating a strategy that person can continue rather than aiming to do something all in within 6 weeks or doing an excessively strict diet, which then obviously you can get a backlash from that people can't sustain.
Yeah, so you've got that whole...
The best diet is the one that they can sustain for the longest period of time. If they can stay on that road for the longest period of time, the length of time someone stays on their path is a key factor.
Yeah, absolutely. And then your relapse, your possibility of relapse reduces significantly.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good answer. Hopefully that shed some light for you listeners out there. So let's go flip side. Let's go... Still weight loss, still losing body fat, but someone who now believes in their head that they've got their nutrition somewhat right. People that not necessarily overtrain, but train too much. Is there a benefit to someone training absolutely all out every single day. Because we see it all the time. We see people checking in at gyms. We see people tagging themselves in on Facebook. We see people talking about it. And, you know, we promote healthy living and active daily lifestyles. But what about these people that, you know, have they believe their nutrition's good, and then they go to the gym 5, 6, 7 times a week, sometimes even twice a day? Is it going to help them or hinder them?
What, just crazy volume of training?
Yeah, in their weight loss quest.
Again, as with most things, the answer is it depends. But most of the time, what I try and look at with clients I work with and people I work with is we've got to look at the bigger picture. We've got to step back and look at the things from above. So you've got to look at the overall training picture. When you look at things from the details and from within it, you can't always see what you're doing until you step back and it becomes a little bit obvious. Now, this is one I work with a lot with people. People, like you say, come in every single day and they just absolutely beast themselves, thinking that more is more and more is better. Now, absolutely, I demand a very, very, like, ridiculously high level of training when you're in a session with me. But I also demand recovery protocols. I want you to be as recovered as you can so you can come back in and do it again. So one of the tactics what I like to use is not adverse to taking sessions off people, to reducing their sessions. Now, most of the time when we have to reduce their sessions, it's because they just don't fuel their ability to do those sessions throughout a whole week, which is another reason why we've got to bring food intake up. People have to realize that fuel and work have to find a balance. You have to be able to fuel your journey. If you don't fuel your journey, you're not going to make it halfway there. It's as simple as that. So doing more workouts than you can recover from, is that a good idea? Of course it's not. It's a very quick way to end up in quite a stressful situation where people don't realise kind of what's going wrong. And things just kind of spiral downwards from there. So chilling out, stepping back, and balancing things out usually solves the problem there. So recover, train, recover.
Okay, cool. Now, I want to just touch on that, because that's a big thing that you said there, is let's say that someone is training 5, 6 times a week and their nutrition is on point, supplementation, recovery, rest, they're applying some stretching in there, their hydration levels are really good. Good or bad?
Good. Like I say, if they can work up to a high training like frequency and high training volume, mm-hmm. and their nutrition allows that to happen,
yep.
Then albeit.
Okay, let's go flip side, because this is something that we quite commonly see. Someone training, all out, you know, like you said, you've done it individually with some of the people you train. I've certainly done it with some members when they've had unlimited and I've asked them to drop down to 3 a week, whatever. When an individual has such a high frequency of training, but has either significantly low calories, wrong ratio of macronutrients, just not recovering, what are some of the signs that someone should look out for if that's the case? You said about they don't realise what's going wrong, but they get stagnated, or, you know, they're not progressing anymore. What other ailments, injuries might occur, mental feelings, physical feelings,
They occur and they crop up and they express themselves in quite a few different ways. But, I mean, as a coach, especially as working with people for a long time, you tend to pick up on these things. Someone could come in, they could just be a little bit lackluster. All right, we can take that for one session. We'll do our best to pick that person up. That happens again, that's a little bit of a alarm sign to look at. If some little niggles start with people when they train, you need to be looking at nutrients. You need to be looking at their food intake. So I need to check that's why we check their food diary every single time they come in. We check the calories they're consuming, what other training they're doing outside. We try and control as many factors as possible. But like you say, people might begin to get a little bit more stressed, a little bit more edgy. They lose sleep, people can't sleep at night. There's loads of factors that come in because obviously it's a stressor. They're not getting enough food to recover, which makes training increasingly harder.
Okay, so you've got these two females now, and we can fast forward the clock. Let's not go too far ahead, but let's just fast forward 3 weeks. Okay, let's just give our listeners five things, or more if you come up with them, but five things that would be great benchmarks to hit. You don't have to give specific numbers because, like I said, it's individual, but five key things that they should be focusing their time and energy on, nutrition-wise, that's going to enhance their exercise potential, their frequency of training, but also the results they want, because in a nutshell, that's what they're here for. So what five things would you say?
One of the first things I try and get most of my clients to do, so way before I prescribe to them anything specific, is I like to know. So obviously, I encourage keeping a food diary. That's one of the main things, and tracking what people eat.
Why is that so important?
Well, because people need to realize their location. So basically, if you know where your location is relative to where you need to be, you know the direction which you need to go. So, for example, if someone tracks their food intake and we identify that either they are very scared of a single macronutrient, for example, carbohydrate, or their total calorie load is really, really low, or they just don't eat enough protein, or their fiber or hydration is really, really low. There are factors we can pick at. And we can go, right, this is where they need to be. So you're eating 800 calories, you need to be eating 1800 calories. Let's close the gap. Let's close that disconnect. Let's close the discrepancy between them and do it slowly before I will even start taking calories off someone. Okay. That make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing, second thing you'd ask them to do? Or second thing you'd ask someone to focus their energy on?
So once, track first. Find your location and then find ultimate goal. So have an understanding of where you actually need to be eating to live a healthy lifestyle, to maintain current like equilibrium.
Yep. Okay.
And like I say, I would ask a decent coach to help you find that. There are plenty of calculators you can use online and equations to do that, but that's what we have coaches for.
Okay, so first two, identify pretty much where you are right now by using a food diary or a tracker of some kind. Number two is finding your ultimate goal, where you need to be nutritionally, so calories, ratios, etc.
Yeah.
Grammage, and then number three, fill in the gap. Is that what you're saying?
Fill in the gap. Yeah. So work from number one to number two very slowly.
So fill in the gap. That's, you know, obviously seeking advice from someone who knows, or getting to know yourself. Nutritional choices, meals, snacks, food types that you can consume that's going to keep you on par with what your goal is.
Yeah, so it's fine. Number three is you don't have to go and pick a diet. You don't have to pick something that's labelled as a diet anyway. You just have to take care of, like I say, your balanced nutrition, and just walk nice and slowly. If you're not eating enough food, slowly walk it up. If you're eating way too much food, you're going to need to slowly walk it down. And doing it nice and gentle usually wins the race for long-term health anyway.
Cool. And then we move on to the fourth. What's the fourth thing that you'd advise someone to do once they've done that? Enjoy or it. Say to focus their energy on?
Training. Yeah, I would have a focus on getting stronger. Enjoy like the learning aspect of technicalities of all the lifts. Use it as a hobby rather than as a chore.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's an empowering feeling, like becoming stronger. and you'll find your ability to handle more food will go up, your appetite will rise, your energy will go up, and both things link to each other very, very well. So from routine purposes, those two things transcend your goal as a specific physical thing. They will move into work, life, and they'll help balance out a lot of other things rather than just that.
And the final one, just to wrap it up for today, fifth thing that person needs to focus on. It might not have been your fifth thing, but it's something we always get asked. What supplements should I be taking to accelerate? Would you be looking at adding any supplements in? Obviously, we've got protein powder, which is a macronutrient, but do you find that people focus too much on thinking that the results are going to come in a capsule?
People overemphasize the importance of the supplements, but supplements obviously are just supplemental. They may fill in a tiny little gap, notwithstanding obviously deficiencies and things like that, where we might need to bring those kind of things.
Oh yeah, then that's a completely different kettle of fish.
We can make use of supplements, yes, absolutely. I like to use certain supplements for training or to hit certain goals, but you've got to hit the foundations first before we try and rely on a crutch.
It's funny that we've listed and we've got them written down in front of us, these five steps, so to speak, of what people like to do to, or what we advise people to do to get results. Yeah. But now that we look back at it, they probably aim to do these five, but inverted. So,
yeah,
you know, we see it all the time when we pop into local stores to pick up our supplements, etc. You know, there's guys and girls going to buy the supplements first.
Mm-hmm.
Then they join a training program, a gym, or something similar. They put those two together and they keep eating their normal food choices.
Yeah.
They have no idea what calories they should be eating or how much protein, carbs, fats, you know, and those sort of things. And they certainly, probably the last thing they ever do is keep a food diet.
Yeah, people can get a little bit frustrated when they first begin, which is why when they come in, we really emphasize like the potential that you can pay forward by doing those steps.
Mm.
If you try and go supplement first, you just put in that supplement on top of a crappy diet, it's not going to do something. So
no.
Try and, like I say, that's what we do. We're holding clients back sometimes. But for their potential, like further goals that they can get, like to get increasingly leaner or increase strength or add more muscle, understanding how much fuel you can take, how much fuel you do take, how much training you can do, when all those things are in unison, is very, very powerful, rather than just things being left in the air and everything else being a guessing game.
Yeah, very, 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 very good point. Thank you very much, Dan. Very insightful. Hopefully you guys listening in have enjoyed what Dan's had to say. Feel free, as always, to contact Dan directly. I believe you can contact him via email at dan@paramountfitness.co.uk. I'm sure that if you've got any nutritional questions, he'll be more than happy to answer them. Like I said, thank you for Dan for sharing his time and his knowledge with us this afternoon. Hopefully you've listened and you've enjoyed, and you'll join us again very soon on the podcast for some more education. We'll catch you guys very soon.